other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
Praise God. He's a rock I stand on. Amen.
Amen.
If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'm going to tell
right.
you.
Amen.
Amen. No one ever cared for me like Jesus, as the song says.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't make it tonight if it wasn't for him.
Amen.
I tell you, you know, I ain't going to make any bones about it. My family's been through some really hard times here lately. But I'm going to tell you, if it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be in church tonight. I wouldn't be anywhere. I'm telling you, life's hard, but God's
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Amen. All around me, I see people going through horrible storms of life. Good friends that are going through all these horrible storms. I mean, just Sunday, Brother Lonnie shared with me that a good friend of mine, Larry Box, is completely eat up with cancer. I mean, just eat up head to toe. And, you know, I talked to him, and he said, you know what? God can heal me, but if he doesn't, I totally accept that. I'm ready to go. I totally give God all the glory, whatever
Amen.
He wants to do.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I'm telling you, God's good.
Amen.
He'll take you through things that you can't even imagine facing. And I just want you to continue to pray for us. I want you to continue, especially pray for Miss Stephanie. She's really having a very hard time, and she needs lots of prayer right now. And she said, please tell the church that she's seriously, seriously in need of prayer. So if you would, I'd ask you, please lift her up tonight. And but anyway, it's very good to have Brother Tino Gropey here with us, and he said that you know, his wife would be watching tonight, so I have to talk real good about him. Well, I'll say this. At least I didn't have to ride with him today. Amen? So he rode with me. And but anyway, we've enjoyed the day. He taught this morning in our homeschool group, and he taught on geocentricity. If you don't know what geocentricity is, you need to find out. It's the Bible teaching of the universe. There's science, what science says about our universe, and then there's what God says, and they contradict totally. And it's hard for people to get their mind around. You know, if you've been told your whole life that the sky was red, and been told ever since you were born, and everybody told you the sky was red, you'd have a hard time somebody convincing you it was blue if you've been told all your life that it was red. I mean, if you heard on the news, you heard in the movies and songs and everywhere you read, the sky's red. And somebody says, no, I'm telling you, it's blue. The Bible says it's blue. You know, you'd have to either believe what the Bible said or you'd have to believe what everybody's been telling you all your life. And I'm going to take God's word over everybody else. Amen.
Amen.
So you really need to get, and we're going to have that DVD available on geocentricity. He taught it this morning in our school, and I mean, it makes perfect sense. Every bit of it's in the Bible. It doesn't come from anything but the Bible. I mean, there are some other things that add to it, but the truth comes from the Bible. And fantastic job he done this morning. I'm really excited, really grateful to have him here with us. And looking forward to tonight. We're going to be talking about giants tonight. And it's fascinating stuff. Some spooky stuff to that too. There's some. I mean, it's not. You think science fiction movies are weird? You ought to just look in the Bible. There's all kinds of crazy stuff happening in the Word of God that people just kind of brush over because they don't understand what it's talking about. So I'm assuming you're going to get into some of that.
I don't know how spooky.
Get spooky, brother. We like spooky, so it'll be all right. But anyway. We're looking forward to tonight and what all Brother Tino's going to bring to us. And you try to make every meeting, try to make every opportunity you can to get some of this, because I guarantee you won't get it. You won't be able to get it just anywhere, okay? And tell others and invite them to come. But anyway, it's good to be with you. It's good to have Miss Patsy, right? Good to have Patsy here visiting with us again. And it's good to have my good friend Mike Clark and his children with us tonight. And so we got folks out tonight. Brother Lonnie's. Of course, Miss Brenner told you about it. He's over there visiting his friend Bruce Freeland, who's in very bad health, and we need to lift him up in prayer that God will work something miraculously in his situation. Miss Betty is—they're having Thanksgiving at the nursing home tonight, and that's where she's at. I'm trying to think who else is out tonight. Well, Miss Stephanie's out tonight. And Jesse, of course, he had to work tonight. So we've got it kind of took a hit on us tonight. We had a real good crowd last night. We're hoping for a good crowd tomorrow night. Not that y'all are a bad crowd, but amen. Well, I wish you'd have brought some friends, but we're glad you're here. Amen. But anyway, we're looking forward to tonight, and I'll quit talking and let him. We'll sing and let him talk. Amen. But let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight and ask for God's blessing on the service tonight. And I'm going to ask my good friend Mike Clark to lead us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are truly blessed. We've got to be able to attend the privilege tonight,
yes,
in this church, and be able to uncover the truth of your word and fly in the face of what Christ would have to do. God, thank you for the ministry of Brother Tino and how he worked so hard to build a church to other people all across the country, all across the world. Father, as we all heard Brandon mention, Lord, we lift up Brandon to you, lift up Stephanie to you. God,
yes,
as they fight through this horrible attack on the family.
Lord,
God, we pray for peace, we pray for understanding, we pray for healing.
Yes.
In their family, we pray for healing in their marriage. God, some undoubtedly it causes strain in their union.
Lord, heavens.
We know your will is to heal and to restore and to sustain marriage. So God,
yes,
we ask you to help them in that. Of all the other things that were mentioned tonight, the sickness, the man with cancer, God, we pray these work in a special way, either bring healing or either bring just comfort. Father, we commit this night to you. Lord, we pray that all that is said, all that is sung, all that is done will bring honor and praise and glory to your name. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number 185 in the green book. Brother Tino, you grab the white. It's supposed to be a green one. Number 185, glory to his name. Let's sing. In your green book.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Let's Amen. Stand together. And before we get ready to sing, let's get ready to give tonight, if the Lord allows you to give. And just so you have a reference point of this brother and the work that he's doing, he drove the first leg of this tour. He drove from Wisconsin to Kansas. How long was that, brother?
About
11 hours. Then he left there and he drove where? To Amarillo. That was how far? About 8 or 9. And then he drove from there to Mexico. And that was what? About the same. Then he drove from New Mexico all the way across Texas, stopping over in Lubbock, all the way to here. And he's got to go all the way to Kansas and all the way back up to Wisconsin before he's done. And he's doing all this in the name of love.
Amen.
The love for Christ.
Amen.
And the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. So I'm going to tell you, somebody that can put that much labor into serving God, we ought to do something to try to help them. I'm trying to get
Amen.
My phone turned off here where it won't go off. That's what I'm doing. We ought to all do that if we have a cell phone. Turn our ringer off. All right. But let's get ready to give tonight unto the Lord's work, and that's what we're giving to. I'll tell you, Brother Tino is not a millionaire that I know of. Matter of fact, he just got fired not too long ago. Said he walked out of the break room without his earplugs in just for a second, and they saw that as they went in for the kill. And they set him free from the shift work to be able to go full-time into the ministry. And he wouldn't go to the ministry fast enough, so the guy had him kick him out the door. So anything that you give tonight is going to support the work that he's doing, and we encourage you to give if you're able. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God to bless the offering tonight. And J.D., I'm going to ask you to lead us in prayer.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for allowing us to be here. And Lord, I ask you to serve with me through this message. So all of us to get something to go spread it and teach other people.
Mm-hmm.
We put the offering, Lord, and we'll stay here for tonight.
Amen. Amen. Number 355. We'll give as we sing.
Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen. You can be seated. Got this one on, Haley? Yeah, okay. I sang a song that I wrote last night, and I wasn't planning on singing this one, but anyway, it's another one that I wrote, but I know I sang it just here recently, but I just feel like I won't sing it again tonight, so. Down, that's when the devil's going to try to kick you and tell you you're worthless and God's left you behind, you're cast away, and it's when you got to tell him shut up, leave you alone, run to Jesus, get your eyes on him. That's why, hey, that's the only thing to keep you from sinking. Amen. Keep your eyes on him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that's set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Amen. You got a warning thing up here. It says,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I guess somebody
can see it, can't they? Okay. Anyway, I didn't know what the warning was, but I didn't want to touch anything. Anyway, it is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and I'm thrilled to have Brother Tino here. It's a real treat. It's a real blessing. And, you know, as I said last night, you know, I got excited about creation science evangelism with Dr. Kent Hovind. And, you know, I don't know if Dr. Kent Hovind will ever visit our church, but I tell you, I was excited when I heard Brother Tino had a very similar ministry. And that not only that, but he was willing to come to little small churches like ours and bring his ministry and show us something we can't just get everywhere. So I'm excited about that, and this is a great opportunity. And there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians in this world who'll never hear what you're going to hear tonight. Their pastors will never talk about it. And matter of fact, most of them have no idea about it. And so, you know, you can only preach salvation to save people so long. They got to learn something. We need to be educated Christians. And you know, you never should quit learning. Got to learn as much as you can so that you're an informed believer. Because I can tell you right now, the world's trying to learn everything it can to defeat you. So you need to inform yourself. And the best place to go is that old King James Bible. Amen. And I'm thankful, Brother Tino. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to ask him to come and talk to us tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you tonight. We're thankful, Father, for this time we have in the house of God. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for Brother Tino who's come our way. But Father, we just pray that you'll give him unction and power tonight, Lord, that you put your hand upon him. Speak through him the words you'd like for us to hear, Lord. And Father, I pray you'd put the Holy Ghost power behind him. Lord, may they sink into our hearts and minds. And Lord, may we come away with a new understanding of things. Lord, you lead him and guide him, and you lead and teach us. Father, we thank you now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, brother.
Michael. Man, that one don't want to turn off. I guess we'll have to live with it. Oh, there it goes. Got to get a little bit of energy first. Turn on my voice. And here we go. All right, I'm Tino Gropey from Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And I preach on creation, evolution, dinosaurs. My goal is to get people to believe the Bible, to realize that the Bible is reliable, dependable, authoritative, true, from the first cover to the last cover. I believe the Bible from cover to cover, including the cover that says Holy Bible, which means it's God's perfect word. And I'm sent out by a local church. I believe the King James Bible that I preach out of. There are not too many creationists who can claim either of those two things. Many of them work for the large organizations, Answers in Genesis, ICR, things like that. And a lot of good guys, I know a lot of them, and I don't want to be critical or anything, but a lot of churches would prefer to have a local church-sent person rather than a parachurch ministry. And a lot of churches would prefer to have somebody that actually believes the book he's preaching out of rather than one that believes it's maybe almost true and the originals were better than, even though we don't have them. My goal, as I said, is to get people to believe the Bible in whatever state you're in. If someone's not a Christian, I want to show you that the Bible is a reasonable book to believe. There is a scientific backing, historical backing, archaeological backing, all kind of reasons to believe the Bible. It's not a book of myths and nonsense like people think. If you're a Christian, I want you to have stronger faith in the Bible that will enable you to be a better Christian and a more confident witness for Jesus Christ. To be able to answer questions people have. Because, hey, people out there will have some questions that you can't handle if you don't study. And I want you to be able to be equipped to either answer those questions or at least know where the answers are available. If you can't answer them, you can tell somebody, I can get that answer for you. And that helps us be better soul winners, better servants of the Lord, And, of course, I do want to see people come to get saved, come to realize I can trust this Bible. It's accurate and all these wild things that people talk about. And if I can believe it for creation and for Noah's Ark and for things like that, I can believe it when it comes to the resurrection of Christ and the need to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so I want to strengthen people's faith. And today we're going to talk about giants. Now, I'm not going to get into the spooky stuff that Bud Brannon was talking about, the sons of God and all this stuff. That's stuff for Brother Cooley to do on the radio show. So I'll leave that up to him. What I want to do is to show you that there is evidence, not only scriptural evidence, obviously, but also evidence in the world that there were giants in the world in those days, giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. And we're going to see some of that evidence. There. Oh, man, who put this on my computer? Oh, okay, I haven't seen my wife for a couple weeks, so I'm missing her. All right, giants in the earth. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, Genesis 6:4. And here are several verses about giants. And I'm not going to read all the verses, but you can simply see that the Bible talks about giants several times. And that's one of the things that people struggle to believe. You know, they say, come on, giants, that's fairy tale stuff. That's mythology. That ain't real. Well, we're going to see it's more real than you think. Guess Genesis 6, there are giants in the earth, but Numbers 13:33, talking about the giants, the sons of Anak, the Anakims, which we were in our own sight as grasshoppers to them. And they looked at us like grasshoppers, it says. And that's what we talked a little bit about that yesterday, defining exactly what a giant would be. If somebody 7 foot, I've known some 7-footers, came in here, maybe even somebody 8 foot, came in here and wanted to beat up the pastor, I think 6 or 7 of us could get together and take the guy down, even if he's pretty big. But the bigger someone gets, they not only get taller, but you get broader in every direction. So when you get somebody that's going to be over 8 feet, somebody 9 feet, 10 feet, 12 feet, if a giant like that came in, we would be like grasshoppers to him. I mean, he could just swat you around. It don't matter if you send 10 guys after him, he'd just swat you around like grasshoppers. And my illustration was, if you get attacked by a dozen grasshoppers, well, you just kill them. No big deal. They don't hurt you. If you get attacked by 100 grasshoppers, then you find a weapon that's bigger than the grasshoppers can handle, tennis racket or something, and pretty soon there aren't many grasshoppers left. And that's the way a giant, somebody 10 foot tall, he could pick up a tool that we couldn't even pick up and just start flailing away and just take out as many people as he wanted to. That would be a giant. Somebody 7 foot tall, he's big. He might be bigger than any of us, but if 4 or 5 of us or 6 of us went after him, we could take him down. If somebody's 10 feet tall, all of us together are not going to do very well against them. Over in Deuteronomy there, it talks about the people great and many and tall as the Anakims. So when the Bible talks about giants, it's talking about people who are tall. It's not talking about like Thomas Edison was a giant in his day, even though Thomas Edison was 5'8 or something. But he was a giant in a different sense. But we're talking about literal giants, real giants, people who were 9 feet, 10 feet, 12 feet tall. King Og of the remnant of the giants, and it tells how big his bed is, and we'll take a look at that in a second. A couple of verses about King Og. And, of course, Goliath. Everybody knows about Goliath. And evolution usually says things out started small and got bigger and bigger and better. We started as a tiny amoeba, we evolved into a tadpole, and then a frog, and then a lizard, and then a squirrel, and then a monkey, and then a little 3 or 4 foot ape, and then a 5 or 6 foot human. And we're getting bigger and better, but the fossil record and the Bible indicates just the opposite. Things started out bigger and better and have been getting worse. And a thing called mutations, we keep getting worse and worse and worse. We're not getting better and better and better. Why were there giants in the past? Well, one of the reasons might have been before the flood. There was very likely a richer atmosphere than we have today. With the oxygen that they found in amber and some dinosaur bones, there was a greater amount of oxygen and a greater pressure. So it would be much healthier. Things would grow much better. Plants would grow much better. So there'd be a lot more food. The ground would produce more. It would filter out more of the harmful rays of the sun. So pretty much everything would get bigger, live longer, be healthier. Then after the flood, it was a totally different world. A lot of creatures maybe couldn't survive the world after the flood because there wasn't as much vegetation. The sun was more of a danger. The climate was different. And even the animals that did survive maybe didn't get as big and as strong, and they started decaying. The human lifespan started dropping from 900 years to 600 to 400 to 200 to 70, what we have today. More and more hospitals are getting hyperbaric chambers, which pretty much creates a pre-flood atmosphere, or close as we know to what it might have been, and people heal multitudes faster in a hyperbaric chamber. Things that are basic parts of the body, parts that are basically dead, you can put them in a hyperbaric chamber and it can get enough oxygen in them that it can revive parts and keep them from having to amputate. The Detroit Red Wings hockey team has their own hyperbaric chamber, which helps their players heal faster. So we all need to pray for the Red Wings to win the Stanley Cup because it'll prove the Bible is true. And the fossils show that the Bible is right. We talk about, Brother Brandon talked about believing science as opposed to believing God. There's actually nothing wrong with believing science. It's the scientists who tell you things that aren't true science. Science so-called, the Bible calls it. Science lines up with the Bible just fine. Not all scientists line up with the Bible just right. And some of them, it's because they're biased. Some of them, it's because they're mistaken. Some of them, it's because they're deceptive. And there's examples of all kinds. So we see here Goliath, judging by a standard cubit. The standard a cubit is the measurement between your elbow and your fingertip. And the average cubit, when they measure things over in Israel and stuff, I think a cubit was about 18 inches. That would be a normal man's span. My cubit's about 20 inches. And I'm not, no huge person. So if the cubit was bigger that was used, because people carry their own rulers, their hands, their cubits, their feet, and everything like that. And Goliath's minimum height at an 18-inch cubit would have been 9 feet 6 inches tall. He'd have been a big boy, and he'd have been much more broad and bigger in every direction. And that's minimum cubit. If the cubit was 2 inches longer, he would have been another half a foot or foot taller. King Og's bed, by that standard, would have been 13 feet 6 inches. Now, a guy is usually going to be about the size of his bed. So that means King Og would have been, maybe if his feet were hanging over the end, he might have been taller. And if the cubit was a couple inches longer, he might have been another foot or so taller than that. So he would have been huge, 13 feet, 14 feet, maybe 15 feet. Maybe that's why they made him king. Now we see when they try and use the hyperbaric atmosphere and things, Dr. Yuichi Mori grew a tomato plant to 40 feet tall. That ain't a tomato plant. That's a tree. And it produced over 13,000 tomatoes. We see Dan Carlson, who has a ministry that he calls Sonic Bloom. He tries to replicate the pre-flood conditions, the Garden of Eden conditions. And he's had a world record purple passion plant that normally grew to 18 inches, grew to 1,300 feet. And he uses songbird music with oscillating frequencies and a mist. The Bible talks about a mist from the ground in the original Garden of Eden. And you see the picture there at the time Genesis 2:6 pumpkin grew to what at the time was a world record, 1,458 pounds. That's a big pumpkin. Linus is looking for the great pumpkin in Charlie Brown. We found it. There's a bird called a Pelagornis, has a wingspan of 17 foot. That's a pretty big-sized bird. I'm just going to show you a few examples of animals in the fossils, in the fossil record. An ostrich-type bird that's 10 feet tall, and you can see how big he would be compared to a man there in the bottom left corner. 10 feet tall is a big ostrich. Ostriches are big enough, but this one would be even about 4 foot taller than the average ostrich, so he'd have been humongous. Giant teratorn, looks like a crow, but they found the fossils, and that's what he looks like. That's his actual size in the fossil record. They found birds that big. Here's a comparison of how he would look compared to he's almost as big as a plane. And if you look down in the middle bottom there, it shows you his size compared to the largest flying bird today, the albatross, and he's way bigger than an albatross. Twice as long and twice as deep. He'd be a huge bird, and he looks like a crow or a blackbird. You wouldn't want to see one of them flying overhead. Penguins in the fossil record were 5 feet tall. Penguins get pretty big, the emperor penguins, but they don't get that big. I mean, 5 feet tall is somewhere like that. The one on the right is a dragonfly. They found a few large fossil dragonflies. The one in the picture here is 30 inches. Now, you wouldn't want to be riding a motorcycle. You wouldn't have to worry about running into a deer. You'd be watching out for the dragonflies. Now, that one's 30 inches. They discovered another one that was 36 inches. And the most recent large one they discovered several months ago was about 48 inches. 4-foot-long dragonfly. Well, if you ran into him in your car, I think he would win. a 10-foot fossil sea scorpion there next to a normal-sized human, and a fossil millipede, 7 foot long. Wouldn't you like to see that in the bathtub when you got up in the morning, a millipede in your tub that's 7 foot long? Man, you could ride him. Put a saddle on him and take him down the street. 16-inch, 10-pound frog they call Beelzebufo. And look at the crocodile on the bottom. The one on the right is a normal-sized crocodile head, and if you take a look at how big that crocodile head that the guy is leaning on in comparison, that crocodile was 40 feet long. But like I said, when it's 40 feet long, that's more than twice as long as a normal crocodile. He's also going to be twice as big this way and twice as big that way. So he's going to, you know, you wouldn't even hardly recognize that's a crocodile. He'd be outrageous. So there's plenty of evidence for giants in the world in the fossil record of all different kinds of animals that were much bigger in the past than they are today. But all the evolutionary things they set up the little one and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That ain't what we see in the fossil record. Somebody's mistaken or deceptive. There's Kent Hovind right there standing next to a big tortoise and somebody getting a bear hug by a giant sloth. There's a horse they found. How many of you have ever seen the horse series they show in the evolution books where they show this little rodent-sized horse about the size of my model dinosaurs? And actually, it probably was a rodent. It wasn't a horse. And then they show a little horse, and then a pony-sized horse, and then a regular-sized horse, and then a Clydesdale. And they say, that's how it evolved. They don't put these in their charts because it messes up the whole chart. They want you to make you think it was a little, you know, mouse or rat-sized thing that evolved bigger and bigger and bigger when just the opposite's happened. The one that was 13 feet tall used to exist in the past. The Clydesdales we have today aren't quite that big. And here's, you would need a ladder to ride him. That's why you have to ride the millipede instead. Now here's a picture of a normal size piranha, in comparison to how big the piranhas they found in the fossil record are. You wouldn't want to have to cross a river in the Amazon if you're bleeding. And you get piranhas like that in there. And the megalodon, one of my favorites because I have some real fossils here of the megalodon. This is a great white shark tooth. It is about as large as a great white shark tooth can get. It's about 2 3/4 inches. They don't get much bigger than this. It is basically world record size great white or real close to it. That's how big a shark. If you got a shark with a tooth about this big, he's maybe about 22 feet long. That's a pretty big shark. You don't want to mess with him. He'd make lunch out of you in a hurry. The jaws that I have back there from the Mako shark, that shark would only have been about 12 feet. So the shark that this tooth belonged to would have been more than twice as big as the shark as those jaws back there. So if he chomped on you, you would be a snack. But if you saw a megalodon, megalodon's teeth were that big or bigger. Now, a megalodon would be 3 times as big as a great white shark. If they're 20-some feet, the megalodon would be 60 to 70 feet. And there are big, I have a few megalodon teeth, and there are some, they found them as big as 7 inches. This one is just a little bit under 6 inches. And these are fossil megalodon teeth, and it's a real great white tooth. But that shows you what things were like in the past. The sharks in the past, even though they could chomp you very easily, they wouldn't have to. They could swallow you whole, they're so big. You wouldn't have to worry about him. He could swallow your whole boat. And I actually had an encounter with a megalodon a few years ago. He was attacking my wife, and I fought him off. And you can see, I'm still here, right? And you haven't seen any megalodons lately, have you? So that tells you, and he's missing a few teeth. All right? So no megalodon's going to mess with me anymore. And can you imagine, that is just the front of his jaw. Can you imagine how big his head would be and then how big his body would be? And you know, you can't hardly picture how big he would be. Now we'll look at human giants in the earth. A normal six foot or so modern man. The one I use for the model in this picture is Gene Howard. He's from Bryan, Texas. He's a Baptist preacher that looks and sounds like John Wayne, and he uses that in his ministry. He's also a very good artist, shows people how they can draw using things like numbers and letters, and put a bunch of numbers and letters together and draw a Bible story for a Sunday school class. So even if you've got no talent as an artist, he shows you how you can be an effective artist. And he's a really good guy. Shaquille O'Neal is an example of a guy about 7 feet. I mean, there's several basketball players in a 7 foot variety, and he's built pretty well. A lot of 7 footers are just tall, skinny guys, and they don't seem quite so big. But there are a few, like Shaquille O'Neal, who's actually tall and built pretty well. There are reports of 3 8-foot tall skeletons that were in West Virginia reported in the 1800s. Now, there are occasional people that have reached 8 foot tall, so that's not beyond the bounds of imagination. Then we have Thrax Caesar, who was reported as being 8.5 feet tall. And he was a ruler, I believe, 300 AD in Rome. Now they say, well, they maybe stretch the truth a little. Maybe he wasn't that tall. Well, he had to be pretty tall for them to claim he was 8.5 foot. I mean, if he was 6 foot, nobody would believe him if you say he's 8.5 foot. So he's still got to be, if he's not 8.5, he had to be 8 feet or something like that to be believable as 8.5 feet. We've had some tall people in recent times. Robert Wadlow, he died like 1940 or so. So it's not, you know, ancient history. And he was just a whisker under 9 feet. Now, some people that grow like that, they have a glandular problem. They grow real tall, but they don't get real big. They're not proportioned right. And he's an example of that. There's been a few others. Dan Kohler was another guy who was just a couple inches shorter than him. And they both lived, you know, within the last 50 years or so, not 100 years maybe. And so we know people can get that tall. So people... modern people can get as much as 9 feet tall, and they usually die early though when they have that glandular problem. And I think he only lived to about 40 years old. So, but when you know we've had people right about 9 feet tall, all of a sudden a 9'6" Goliath doesn't seem so outrageous. It's not that hard to believe. Now, when Goliath was 9.5 feet tall, probably there weren't too many other 9 feet people or 8 feet people around, because you know, the Jews and most people back then were smaller than they are today. Because of better health and better care, we have been growing a little bit in the past couple centuries compared to what was in the past, but we're deteriorating in a lot more other ways. Then, of course, we talked yesterday about the Gigantopithecus. There's the big debate on whether he's a gorilla or a human. And definitely the bones I have over here are gorilla, and so the skull they made was a gorilla. But the original findings and several of the scientists, and we had that up there yesterday, they said they thought it was human by the shape of the teeth, the fact that it had no fangs like a gorilla would have, and those teeth apparently disappeared. And like I mentioned, I knew one of the people that had saw the actual fossils and said she believed they were human. Well, either way, whatever it was 12 feet tall. 12 feet tall proves there were giants in those days. It proves the Bible's true. So the evolutionists certainly don't want to put out evidence that there were 12 feet tall people in the past. Now, if you get, Joe Taylor has a book called Giants Against Evolution, where he gives hundreds and hundreds of different cases, of documented cases, where people found bones of people that size and bigger. And what the average person would do when they find something like that is they call up their local university or museum and say, hey, I found this neat bone, you know. And, of course, the museum or university is more than happy to come take that bone and look at it for you, and then you never see it again. And that's happened dozens of times. And Joe Taylor's book documents all the places, different universities and different people who turned it in. So there's probably a lot more evidence that we don't know about for giants in the world. Of course, King Og in the Bible was at least about 13 and a half feet, at least his bed was, so you got to figure he's about that size. But now, these are really not that stretching the imagination too far. I mean, if we know in our lifetime or recently we've had people as big as right near 9 feet tall, and the Bible talks about a guy 9 and a half feet tall, there's some evidence for perhaps for people as big as 12 feet tall. Meganthropus, I brought that here. Oh, I said somebody moved it on me. Probably put it back where it belonged. I brought the Meganthropus jaw. Meganthropus jaw is almost as big as Gigantopithecus. He would have been about 10 feet tall. And they most scientists do say that what the bones they found are human. They're human teeth. There's, of course, a debate on it because the evolutionists don't want to admit it, so they fight back and forth. And we don't want to make too much out of finding a couple jaw fragments because we've seen evolutionists will find a tooth and they'll make all, you know, a wild story about it and create the guy's whole life history and his whole neighborhood based on a tooth. Then the tooth turns out to be something, not even a human. So we don't want to carry it too far, but it's not definitive proof for anything, but it is at least evidence that there very likely could have been people as big as 10 feet tall not too long ago, and perhaps 12 feet tall if Gigantopithecus was, the bones were human. And so then the Bible talks about King Og being 13'6", so that's, we're not stretching really too far beyond imagination right now. But there are some reports, and we'll start where we left off there, several reports of creatures as big as or humans, 15 feet tall. Joe Taylor has a bone in his museum that would if it's legitimate, it came from someone about 15 feet tall. He's got a thigh bone, and there were three skeletons found in the Turkey Euphrates Valley in the 1950s. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of examples of these. I just grabbed a few just to give you a progression of what kind of reports there've been. In France, they found the skeleton, at least reportedly that it was 19'6", so we're getting now nearly 20 feet tall. Now, I don't know if people were 20 feet tall, but then again, in the past, a lot of people believe some of the Bible characters before the flood, including Noah and his sons and the people before that, that they may have been much bigger than we are today. Maybe Noah was 12 feet tall. Well, if Noah was 12 feet tall, that's if. I mean, I'm not stating it definitively, but if Noah was 10 feet tall or 12 feet tall, for somebody to be a giant to Noah, he's going to have to be, you know, 15, 20 feet tall. So it's not much of a stretch to believe that either if you believe the Bible. In France, there have been a couple reports of skeletons as big as 23 to 25 feet. And there have been two or three reports from different places. This one was from Carthage, of a skeleton that would have been 36 feet tall. Now, like I said, I don't know if there were people 20 and 30 feet tall. But then again, I don't know that there weren't either. When you see how big the animals used to be compared to what they are today, 3 and 4 times as big as they used to be, well, why couldn't a human be 3 or 4 times bigger? It's not unreasonable. We've got some giant human tracks, and I have a few of them here. Now, these are not huge people. The ones that made the 15 and 16-inch tracks, and judging by the amount of compression, they think these people could have been 8 or 9 feet tall. Now, there are people that are 7 feet tall that have feet about this big. So they didn't have to be that big, but they could have been. Different people have different size feet. I mean, you can't measure it to the exact inch, but when somebody's got feet that big and they make that deep of an impression, means they're pretty heavy. They may have been at least 7 feet tall and perhaps much more. But we've got a few super giant human tracks. The ones on the right there were found in Kansas. I don't know if they're authentic. I mean, these would be the same size footprints somebody about 30 feet tall would make. So it lines up with those 25 and 30 feet skeletons. So it's corroborating evidence, but I mean, somebody could have faked that. I agree. Except that these large prints, those ones on the right and the one in the middle, exhibit a characteristic that we'll see in just a minute of the kind of footprints people make when they run. When they run, their toes hit heavier, their foot spreads out, their footprint spreads out, and that's pretty much the way these prints are. And so you got to wonder if somebody faked them, they knew what they were doing. Now, some of the other ones that we just looked at, matter of fact, let me go back. Come on, go back. Well, I guess the computer doesn't want to cooperate. There we go. As you see the slits in that, oh, I went back too far. All right. Hey, I'll teach you. If you see there's slits on the one on the left, that's because they cross-sectioned it. What they want to see was that footprint made, was it carved, or was it made by something that actually stepped in the rock when the rock was soft enough to step into? If you try and make a footprint in limestone or cement today, you're not going to make a footprint because it's hard. You'd have to make it when it's soft, and then it would harden. And limestone is much like a natural cement, basically. But we don't see too many natural cements occur. We have to make it on purpose today. During the flood, there would have been the right mix of chemicals and the right temperatures and things that you would have had places where it was still soft, especially when you had volcanic action. So people could have stepped in it while it was still soft, made a footprint, and then it hardened and became cement, became rock. But what they do is then they look underneath and see, is the show marks that it was pushed down? Because if it's pushed down, it'll push the ground down underneath it. If it's carved, it doesn't push anything down underneath it. And this one, they cross-sectioned it and showed it definitely indeed something stepped in the ground and pushed it down. So it was not made by carving. And the people that have discovered these footprints have challenged evolutionists, if you think it's possible to fake one this good, fake one. And pull a joke on us and make us look like, you know, mock us. They can't do it. They can't fake one that well. And the one on the left, the top left, is the Max track, which I just, on my way here, when I stopped off at Lubbock at Joe Taylor's Museum, was able to pick up one. The first one he made is 26 feet long from end to end. Now, if an average footprint, an average guy's foot is like 12 or 13 inches, pretty decent-sized guy, that one's more than twice as big as a normal person. They found five of these in a pattern with a 72-inch stride, which would be a little more than double the average person's stride. So it fits just perfectly. When you find just one track like that one on the bottom right, there's a real good chance, or a better chance, it was probably forged. Somebody probably carved it out. But when you find several in a path, and they match, you know, you got the toe marks and you got the arches and things like that, that's pretty good corroborating evidence that it's a legitimate print, legitimate footprint. When you find five in a row in a left-right sequence with the right stride to compared to how big it is, so there's the guy that made that track would have been, you know, more than twice as big. He'd have been a 12-footer. That would be a big guy, and that's some pretty good evidence that 12-foot people once existed. Here you can see Jerry Simmons and David Lines did some experiments having people run across cement, where you can see how they make a footprint just like those large ones that we saw, and just like the Burdick track that I have over there, where it's wide and, you know, by the toes, and that because that's the you could get different kind of prints whether somebody's walking, whether somebody's running, whether somebody's standing. If somebody's standing, they can make a real nice, perfectly looking footprint. If somebody's running, they might slip a little bit, or some of the ground might be harder and some might be softer. I mean, you could do experiments yourself when it rains, you know, run through a mud field and see what it does. You'll get different kind of footprints. But we know that no creature has a foot anything like a human foot. I've got a gorilla foot up here, and it looks like a hand because gorillas have four hands, basically, and most primates do because they climb and they grab things. Most animals have paws or hooves. No other animal has a foot like a human foot. So if you see something that resembles a human foot, odds are it's a human foot. It's not something else. There's no other animal that has a foot like ours. We talked a little bit again, we talked a little bit tonight, but a little bit yesterday about this one, Gigantopithecus. You can see there that several of the scientists that originally saw the original findings believed it was a human because of the jaws, the teeth, the lack of fangs, the morphology of the tooth. But 12 feet tall humans, man, people would believe the Bible if they saw evidence for that. So the evolutionists don't want to let that stuff get out. So let's put those fossils in the closet. And here we found some gorilla fossils that are 12 feet tall. Well, again, that doesn't sit too well with the theory of evolution either, because evolution keeps telling us things started as little itty-bitty and get bigger and bigger. But here we got our 12-foot gorillas back in the past that have gone extinct, and today we got just got, you know, 5-foot gorillas, a 6-foot gorillas maybe. Well, actually, there are some 7-foot gorillas that they discovered. That'll be in one of the messages coming up, I think, tomorrow night. So this is how big Gigantopithecus would be, whether he was a gorilla or a human. And you could see he would be a giant. You wouldn't want to mess with him. But we do have some evidence for a legitimate human that would have been perhaps 10 feet tall. These models are only 8 feet tall next to a human, a normal-sized human. And he looks pretty big. So you can imagine if he was a foot or 2 foot taller than these depicted here. So once again, one of the more hard-to-believe, fantastic Bible claims is validated by the evidence. We have evidence in bones. We have evidence in footprints. We have evidence in reports, much reports, but you don't always know if all the reports are legitimate or somebody making up a story or somebody stretching the truth. You know, when you catch a fish this big, by the time you get home and report it, you say, I caught a fish that big. Well, things like that could happen. But we do have enough evidence to certainly suggest there were giants in the earth in those days, just as the Bible says. And I believe a lot of the evidence has been suppressed. The universities and museums have a lot more evidence than they want to let out. And we saw that example with Dr. Quozzo making corrections on all their Neanderthal skulls and the testimony of Renee Schissel. She told me that they show their anomalies, mostly for members only. They do invite the public, but they don't publicize it, so nobody knows about it. Only the people that are actually studying the stuff that really know about it. And they display all their anomalies that don't fit their theory. And they just say, well, we don't know what this is. And they have real fossils that they know and that they see that are of things that don't fit the evolutionary theory. But they just keep them kind of hidden away so nobody knows about them. And because she was going to school to become an anthropologist, she got to see those things. And she told me about several of them, many different kind of animals and humans, of things that have been found that don't fit the evolutionary paradigm. So they keep it hush-hush. They don't want everybody to know about it. Because people would believe the Bible. And the devil doesn't want anybody to believe the Bible. So he's going to use dinosaurs and the idea of millions of years to try and turn people away from the Bible. But the more we look, and we'll look at a different segment of evidence every session, we see the Bible is true. It's reasonable. It makes sense. The facts fit the Bible. There's no facts that refute the Bible. And that's basically my goal, is I want to strengthen your faith in the Word of God, that you can be confident that it is God's Word. It isn't just a bunch of guys got together and put a book together. It came straight from heaven. And we'll see more evidence. We've seen some evidence of that last night, some tonight, and we'll see a little more each session to where you'll see in many different ways you'll have your faith strengthened in the Word of God. And with that, we'll be through with our lesson, and let's have a word of prayer, and then Brother T can come finish us off however he wants. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd help strengthen our faith in the Word of God. Help make us better Christians. Help make us better witnesses and testimonies. That you would just continue to strengthen our faith. Help us to realize that this book, this Bible, is the very word from the very God. And help us to have the reverence for it we need to have. Not take it lightly. That we would read it and believe it with the seriousness that it commands. And that we would use it in our lives. And that we would use it in other people's lives. And we thank you that we have a book we can believe in. We can trust our life to it. We can trust our soul to it. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you again tonight like I did last night. First of all, are there any questions from anybody? And there's no wrong questions. No dumb questions. Like you said, Lindsay, can't answer.
And if I can't answer it, I can get the answer. I know that.
We get piece by piece of this puzzle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more coming. We got tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night's evidence for dinosaurs.
Evidence for dinosaurs. So, no
Sunday morning, Sunday school hour, that Sunday morning service, and then Sunday evening. So we got four more sessions together. Plus, we're going to get one tomorrow at school. So
yep. It'll be archaeology proving the Bible tomorrow in school.
So, but when all this is said and done, we're going to have a whole DVD set for this entire session. Like to get one, we'll get you one for nothing. Okay?
And if we have time Saturday, we'll try. I'll try and get a couple of my other messages that I'm not doing here to get them on DVD, so they'll be available on DVD. Depends on how much time we get.
All right. Any other questions? Anybody? All right. Well, let's stand together. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Amen. Again, I want to thank Bishop.